DW.
We started throwing rocks and bottles and shaking police cars.
It's a night of turmoil. But these riots at the Stonewall Inn Bar and along Christopher Street in Manhattan, New York, mark a turning point, the beginning of change.
Historically, people think Stonewall is a thing that completely reversed the problems gay people were having, but it polarized the gay community into believing that they could fight back. That was the significant piece.
The year is 1969. It's a time when the World Health Organization still lists homosexuality as a disease. Under the so-called sodomy laws, gay sex was a criminal offence in the United States. Even in 1986, the US Supreme Court still ruled that these sodomy laws were constitutional and therefore could still be enforced by individual states. It's also a time when public service announcements are often aired on TV, further fueling society's misunderstanding and distrust of homosexuality.
What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual.
Fear of the police, of their neighbours, potential health consequences, and even eternal damnation shaped the lives of the LGBTQ community, like a constant game of hide-and-seek, except it's anything but fun. People are essentially denied their own identities. Some parents try to cure their children of what's believed to be an illness through the use of painful electric shock therapy.
A friend of mine, John, his mother gave him shock treatments and he wound up nuts. And, you know, they had to put him away because all those treatments actually drove him over the wall and because his mother was trying to cure him. Remember, in the 50s and 60s, gay life was a disease. If I touched you, you're going to be gay. If I hugged you, you're going to be gay.
50 years after the riots at Stonewall Inn, a story has emerged about the fight for equality and respect. A fight which reached a symbolic climax in this bar, when the police staged yet another raid on the night of June 28, 1969. Its patrons decided that enough was enough, and so the resistance began. Many of those police raids are burned into the memory of 77-year-old Lee Zevi. A born and bred New Yorker, she lived with her longtime girlfriend and later wife in upstate New York. They frequented lesbian bars in Manhattan. Today, Lee still works as a gestalt therapist and supports Identity House, a non-profit organisation she co-founded in 1971, which provides a counselling service for those struggling to come out. During the years around the Stonewall riots, Lee managed to avoid any confrontations with the police.
Actually, I was one of the lucky ones. I was never in a bar when it was raided.
But she heard all the stories about the cruel twists this relentless game of hide-and-seek could sometimes take.
Just before Stonewall, I was in a bar called the Duchess, and the bar nearby might have been the Stonewall, actually, or the Monster, one of the two. A young man from Argentina jumped out of a second-story window because there was a raid, and he got impaled on a fence and died. And it was things like that that were happening all the time.
June 28, 1969 was a Friday night. At the time, Stonewall Inn was especially popular with gay men and drag queens. Tree Sequoia has worked at the Stonewall Inn for nearly 50 years. He's now 80 years old and travels around the world telling stories from that important time in history.
We were dancing with each other when we heard screams and hollering. And we thought it was another raid like every other raid, you know, line up girls, that's what they said. And we heard Gypsy, a drag queen, scream, "Don't touch me, my husband's a cop." And then we found out it wasn't that. They came in, they threw drugs on the floor, said, "Step on that, that's yours." People said no. And then we noticed a neighborhood cop that was a real nice guy. He gave us the high sign and three of us snuck out behind him. We came outside. And we started joining the 25, 30 people, the 50 people, 100 people, 150. And then we started throwing rocks and bottles and shaking police cars. We broke the lock on the back of a paddy wagon. A paddy wagon is where they put about 30 people to arrest them. We broke the lock, and everybody in the back of that one got out and ran around the neighborhood.
Lee Zevi says many people used to believe that gays and lesbians would suffer throughout their lives. Even gay characters in novels were only considered acceptable if they died in the end, usually by suicide. There weren't exactly many positive role models for those struggling to accept their identity.
They were terrified, not just self-confidence. They were terrified that they were going to be in the fires of hell, or they were going to be, you know, kicked out and on the streets, or they were going to suffer for life. And many people couldn't accept it and ended up feeling very depressed.
The park in front of the Stonewall Inn is little more than a green triangle with a few shrubs and benches. But now, whenever Tree Sequoia walks through the park on his way to work, he's actually walking through the Stonewall National Monument, the first ever US national monument dedicated to LGBTQ rights and history. Then US President Barack Obama even sent a video message from the White House to mark the occasion in 2016.
So this week, I'm designating the Stonewall National Monument as the newest addition to America's national park system. Stonewall will be our first national monument to tell the story of the struggle for LGBT rights.
But times have changed. After Obama came President Donald Trump. In April, Trump declared that transgender people were no longer allowed to serve in the military. The foreign ministry recently declared that US embassies are not allowed to hoist the rainbow flag, a symbol of LGBTQ pride, during Pride Month, which also commemorates the Stonewall riots. The US ambassador to Germany, a gay man himself, had proposed otherwise. But Vice President Mike Pence remains steadfast in the government's decision, as he told US TV network NBC.
On the flagpole of our American embassies, that one flag should fly, and that's the American flag.
Suzanne Goldberg is a law professor at New York's Columbia University. Just a day before our interview, she had given a lecture on the state of LGBTQ rights worldwide. Although the situation is generally improving, many countries still have a long way to go towards acceptance and equality.
We're seeing tremendous advantages. The marriage equality movement is booming, and we have more countries than ever before that recognize full marriage equality, including Taiwan as the first country in Asia. We also have more countries decriminalizing sodomy than we've ever seen before, including a decision just today from Botswana and a decision a couple of months ago from India. So these are enormous shifts. At the same time, there are still 70 countries in the world that criminalize intimate sexual relations between same-sex partners, seven that mandate the death penalty, and five more that would impose the death penalty under certain circumstances.
People like Tree Sequoia, who witnessed the Stonewall riots firsthand 50 years ago, are glad that times have changed for the LGBTQ community. But he knows intolerance will never disappear completely.
There's always going to be prejudice. 100 years from now, people are going to be taught to hate and dislike people from different nationalities or races. You'll never stop it, but it's getting less and less. In fact, when we're growing and growing and growing, eventually, you know, somebody said, what do they think of a gay president? I said, if he's a good president, yes.
Therapist Lee Zevi met her long-term partner around the time of the Stonewall riots. This watershed moment in LGBTQ history went a long way towards allowing her to freely live her life with the person she loved until the end.
After Stonewall, things got a lot easier because people came out of the closet and were more visible. I met my spouse in 1967, so we were living upstate, about an hour upstate when Stonewall happened. And I just thought, oh, another, you know, thing with the cops. So it was a while before it started to occur to me and to a lot of people that this was a lot more serious. And our relationship lasted 50 years, and she passed away 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And I haven't quite gotten used to it, and I'm not sure I ever will, not having someone that close to me.
DW.